Benny White Show on In-Depth Radio, News Talk 1010.
I think maybe next week we could introduce some bells to get a little festive flavour. Not a big fan of Christmas music in general, with the exception of the Pogues. But I do like a sleigh bell, and it would be nice to festive up the place. Also, I've noticed we haven't put any decorations up in the studio yet. Just the usual 26 flat-screen televisions. Obviously, someone's made use of the Black Friday sales. Good evening. How are you? I'm just going to turn myself up because I can't quite hear myself. Oh, goodness. Now I've done it, I can hear myself beautifully. It would appear I've got some sort of stupid accent. How embarrassing. I'll do my best to shake it off over the next hour. My name is Vinny. I am recording from... that wasn't a fart, by the way. It was me moving the mic. Although, that's a good cover for any future mishaps. I'm here at News Talk 1010. That's where I work every Sunday, which is probably why you can hear me on the radio. I mean, it's terribly simple. You've probably gathered that already, but in case anyone's mildly drunk from last night, I thought I'd point it out. I'm going to be here for the next hour. I do stuff and things. Tonight we look at FIFA, the world's most evil organisation. Sorry, the world's football organisation, or soccer. Isn't it awesome? They're not awesome, I'll tell you that. So we'll look into why they're just so dodgy. But again, not farting. I'm just having a bit of mishap organising this mic. As you can see, it's not the most professional of productions. Give it time, you know. Be over in an hour. We'll get through it together. All right, so, my name's Vinny. Oh, I suppose I should give you the information on the show. 416-872-1010. Star Talk 8255, or you can text the show on 71010. And over the next hour, we're going to be talking about FIFA, as I say. We're also going to talk about the G20. Is the world okay now? We had that. We keep having these. Are they fixing everything? It's been a couple of weeks. I assume there's no problems. That, after all, is definitely what happens every time all the world leaders get together. Stuff gets sorted. We'll also look at the latest goings on in America, because it's just funny, isn't it? I mean, with the exception of the harrowing news of various riots, understandable ones at that, this week, there are some actually rather interesting stories in amongst the United States of America. Land of the free. Fact. Land of the free, where more people are incarcerated than anywhere else in the Western world. But still, land of the free. First of all, we talk about... last week, you may remember, I was in for Pei Chen, which was a bit of a laugh, actually. I really enjoyed it. And we talked... to ShannyInTheCity.com. Shanny in the City is a girl called Shannon who runs a matchmaking website. Well, I say it's a website. I mean, it's not like online dating. You know, she'll have a chat with you about your needs and then try and hook you up at some cost, I believe, with the partner of your dreams, or at least that's the idea. And we also, over the last few weeks, have talked about internet dating quite a bit. And she touched on it last week as well. Not for everyone, works for some. Well, I got a letter this week from Sue, who tried out internet dating as a result of these shows. So we've changed Sue's life. I can only assume that she's married and everything's perfect. And she's living in harmony with two babies. Let's find out. She wrote to me. If you want to write to me, you can, by the way. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Twitter. Keeps the letters short. Straight to the point. Or you can, what else can you do? I think you can email as well, if you can be bothered to follow the links. Just go to News Talk 1010 and click on a few things until you find the way to do that. Now then, Sue says this. Dear Vinny, having been inspired by your guest last week and you talking about internet dating recently, I joined the world of internet dating. Hurrah! I thought. That's me, by the way, not her. She said this is how it went. She doesn't say where she went, but she did say this. I arrived early because I wanted to be ready and look cool and casual. All of a sudden, I saw this nerdy guy wearing his pants almost up to his nipples. This couldn't be my date, I thought, but it was. Oh, dear. I'd heard stories about online dating, and you'd said that usually it's a success. I absolutely did not say that. Why would I say that? Yeah, what does that even mean? Online dating is a success. Well, yeah, all everyone that's ever been on an online date only went on one and then got married. Shut up, I did not say that. I love the way she's putting the blame on me. It's not my fault you picked some fella with your pants up to his nipples. All right, but anyway, thank you for considering that I'd advocated it. Anyway, I'd heard stories about online dating where people left upon seeing their date, but I didn't want to be that girl. I couldn't be that girl. John was really excited, delighted, in fact, to meet me. Honestly thought I was being pranked. But I'd heard many people say many people are too picky. Perhaps I was being too picky. I hung in there. It seemed like John couldn't believe his date was actually happening. I, on the other hand, couldn't believe that this was John, as the smiling, fun-seeming man with a great body in his photos looked nothing like he did in his photos in real life. His voice was also extremely loud. After I realised the date wasn't a joke or a prank, I found myself in teacher mode trying to guide the date along. I think he was surprised that he was getting attention and that I was so attentive towards him. I wondered, is this who I'm supposed to date? I downed my beer and realised that he was nursing his, and I seemed screwed. Not, apparently, quite literally. John was actually nice and seemed to mean well. However, a few minutes into the date, John announced that he had bought us tickets to a concert here in Toronto. And he'd done it a month from then. So that's like 3 weeks from now. I didn't know what to say, other than, that's a little fast. Later, John asked me if I'd like to travel, and of course I said yes. And he asked me if I wanted to go with him to an upcoming trip he was planning to Florida, and told me how much it would cost me to go. Oh, he wasn't paying. Nasty. I knew I was doomed. At the same time, everyone was staring at us because he was getting incredibly loud. He was speaking very loudly. When the bill came, I paid. Oh, did you? That's a cringer. John said it was his best date ever. I gave him an awkward hug goodbye, and 10 minutes later, I got an email from John saying he was so excited to meet me after searching for me for so long. And I realised that he must make statements like this all the time. I vowed never to date online again. Thank you, Vinny. Right. It's not my fault. John's a bit of an idiot, and he does sound a bit of an idiot. Also, think yourself lucky at least you had a date. I mean, it's better than not getting anything. You went out. You had a drink you paid. But, yeah. He didn't have... It's not like you had a lobster dinner up the CN Tower, is it? So, and I can't believe you're blaming me. Why am I to blame? It wasn't me, by the way, in case you're worried. Although I do quite often wear my pants so they cut off the blood supply to my genitalia. I'm British, we don't understand fashion or teeth. What does it say? I won't be doing this again, but I do thank you for encouraging me into it. Well, all right. Cheers, I suppose. I'd say crack on, and I'm sure that our experts in this field would agree with me. It's not like you're supposed to go for one date and then find out he's an idiot and then give up. There's loads of idiots. If you didn't use online, if you just went up to someone in a supermarket and said, hi, nice zucchinis, do you want to go out? He might be an idiot. Hopefully, if you use websites well, you filter out some of the idiots. Perhaps, my dear, just some of this was your fault, Sue. Anyway, finding a partner can be tricky. And even when you do, copulating can go wrong under pressure. But if you've had a recent bad experience on a date or perhaps in the bedroom, if you ever think life as a human is bad, spending time and money to wine and dine someone, to get them in the sack and be bitterly disappointed by their technique or lack thereof, spare a thought for the anglerfish. So tonight, I'd like everyone listening to understand that life could be worse. Yes, here in downtown Toronto and across the GTA, you may well find yourself on a dodgy date occasionally. But do spare a thought for you coming back as a different species. And whatever you do, particularly if you're male, don't come back as an anglerfish. And this is why.
Here we will learn true facts about the anglerfish. The female anglerfish comes in many shapes, colors, and shades of ugly. It's like a rainbow of ugly. The male anglerfish is tiny by comparison. Like a tiny little baby. He attaches himself to the female by biting her and then digesting part of his face so he fuses with her flesh. He then atrophies, losing his digestive organs, brain, heart, and eyes, and winds up nothing more than a pair of gonads, which release sperm when needed. Hey there, pretty lady. Nice gonads. To the female anglerfish, the human male is a very loud, annoying, and unnecessarily complicated pair of gonads. The anglerfish is a master of disguise, hiding itself among the sand and rocks of the ocean floor. The deep-sea anglerfish collects glowy-glowy bacteria in its wavy thing to create a tiny little light. Because it's dark as hell down there, and someone needs to light up that pretty, pretty lady.
Indeed, the anglerfish is who you do not want to come back as. I personally will be coming back as a honey badger, the most hard and tough of all species. Worst things happen under the sea. Your date stories, please. Have I inspired you to go online dating? Have you had a bit of a cracker? Is everything going well in your love life, thanks to little old me and the recent shows that we've done on dating in general? Give me some good news. Tell me that you've got an online date and something went well. Or not. Either way, it's quite amusing. 416-872-1010. Give us a phone. How are things? Going well? Enjoying the internet dating? StarTalk 8255, or you can text the show on 71010. Or perhaps you could give other people advice on the best sites to use and the best filters. I say, if you are going to online date, use filters, proper ones. Ask questions. Make sure they're not Pond Life. 416 872 1010, if you'd like to contribute. Should we do a break or should we talk about the G20? Break? All right, G20 coming up and your dating shenanigans right here on In-Depth Radio, News Talk 1010.
You're tuned in to the Vinnie White Show on In-Depth Radio, News Talk 1010.
It really is horrible. Oh. I was waiting for a streetcar earlier and I realised I didn't have the right change. A streetcar, by the way, if you're listening from outside Toronto, a streetcar is a large bumper car. But I think it's reminiscent of 1922, but it still exists here. Anyway, I was waiting for one of those, and I realised I didn't have any change. Change, by the way, is the original format of money, which is broadly accepted on most of the TTC. I think they've just understood credit cards recently, but not all over the place. I was waiting for a streetcar. I didn't have any change. I went in to get some gum from a convenience store. What kind of convenience store was it that didn't sell normal gum? They've just given me this. Well, I wish they gave it to me. They sold me PUR, which I've just eaten a piece now. Apparently it's pomegranate mint. That doesn't exist. That's ridiculous. Pumpkin chocolate. What are you on about? Pomegranate mint gum. Two things that should never work. And by the way, don't. And it says on the packet, it's no GMO. It's gluten-free. It's vegan-free. It's nut-free. It forgot to say it's flavour-free. I got a flavour for about a second, and then it went away. Which is a good thing, because the brief flavour that I did have was a little bit like vomit. So that's P-U-R, that's spelt P-U with an umlaut and R. But, I mean, everything. I don't actually like anything about this. The spelling's ridiculous. The graphic design's appalling. The flavour is pomegranate mint. And the worst thing is, I only went in there to get some change. I always feel guilty just getting change. I always try and buy something. Do you know how much this was? $5.20. $5 for gum. How many pieces are in here? 80 grams, doesn't say. 80 grams of crap. I'm going to start up doing, you know, like we do adverts on the radio. Anti-adverts. Are you thinking about a gum? Well, why not buy? And by not buy, I mean do not buy. Pure, spelt P-U-R. I don't even know how to say it. Purr. Ah, it's quite close. It's onomatopoeic, because that's the sort of noise you make after you eat a bit. Oh. P-U-R, pomegranate mint gum. If you want it, there'll be a packet in the garbage can outside News Talk 1010 tonight. Help yourself. $4.99 worth, because I've eaten one piece. Eaten, I say. Nearly vomited on. Oh, it's horrible. Let me just have a drink. Hang on. Problem is, water doesn't take it away. Oh. Sorry, can someone bring me... Would someone mind wrenching off the toilet of News Talk 1010, wheeling it in so I can lick the bowl so I can get a better flavour than the one that's currently residing in my mouth? G20 news now. Here it is. So it's been a couple of weeks from the G20. Is the world fixed? Yes! No, I'm only kidding. The police are still shooting people. Perhaps the best thing to come out of this meeting of some of the world's most powerful countries was the commitment to reduce the gender gap in workforce participation. Now, that's the difference between the amount of men and women that are working in paid jobs by 25% over the next 10 years. Now, this is an important step. So, positive, groovy. If achieved, it will have significant beneficial impacts for women and societies and economies more broadly. Now, I'm so misanthropic and cynical that I think this is a load of just fluffy words, and the $1 billion or more, a lot more actually, spent on the G20 recently in Australia would be better put to use by, I don't know, sending a washing machine into space for no apparent reason. But alas, those of you that still have hopes, dreams and aspirations that haven't been crushed into the ground by recent news, maybe you've still got a candle lit for basic humanity. You'll be pleased to hear that things are on the up for the climate, and not just in temperature, which has been the common case. Now, on climate change, there was some progress at the G20. The current government in Australia has a sort of, mate, what? I don't know. What? Aye? She'll be right. Policy on climate change. That, by the way, was my Australian accent. Some of you think I'm Australian already, and hopefully that genius showed you the wonderful differences between London and Brisbane. But they do. They think, oh, she'll be right, mate. Don't worry about it. Stick another Watson on the doobery, we'll be sorted. Or something like that. However, in the end, Australia actually did give in to pressure from other nations, perhaps particularly the United States and China, which is actually amazing. Now, there wasn't a revolution on climate change, but we did at least see some solid language in the final communique, which is good because it came out today that the first 10 months of 2014 have been the hottest since record-keeping began 130 years ago. And that, by the way, if you're listening to this in Buffalo thinking, I don't think so, mate. No, honestly, it really is. On a global basis, the first 10 months of 2014 have been the hottest since record-keeping began 130 years ago. So hopefully, things at the G20 have perpetuated someone, somewhere, to do something about it. There was one big failure, of course. The G20 summit was a key opportunity for world leaders to act together on Ebola, to coordinate their efforts and ensure that the commitments of funds, resources and people required to contain the outbreak are met. Despite lots of warm words, there were no real specifics. I think Bob Geldof has done more to reduce Ebola than the G20 have. The people of West Africa and the world deserve better, if you ask me. So what did the G20 summit achieve? It's been a couple of weeks. Well, let's look back. Well, the G20's promise to pursue inclusive and sustainable growth is welcome. But as I say, their response to the Ebola crisis was dangerously inadequate, shall we say. The leaders' words at the summit now need to be turned into actions that fight poverty and inequality and which deliver for the bottom 40% of us minions more than they do for the top 10% of the world's population. I can't see it. I'm a little bit cynical, but we can only hope and probably take action as the time comes. Only when this has happened will this summit have been a success and all the other future ones. I get a bit bored of hearing about them. Loads of money, massive security, local residents get upset and don't think we didn't get this in Toronto. And then afterwards, did anything happen? Not really. Righto. Well, at least they ate well. Yeah? Vladimir Putin looked like a little kid at school, didn't he? I had a kid in my class with a built-up shoe and a love of painting action figures. And that was the face on Vladimir Putin. Socially ostracised by all the other leaders. Our own beautiful and charming Lego head, Stephen Harper, said his piece to Vladimir Putin. And I actually thought it was quite good. When shaking hands with Putin, of course, he said, well, I guess I'll shake your hand, but I only have one thing to say to you. You need to get out of Ukraine, which is wicked. I didn't know he had it in him. I had no idea that our Prime Minister, Stephen Harper, had such an immense set of balls. Apparently, Putin then said, I'm not in Ukraine. Oh, which is like, it's just licensed to punch him in the face. He should have followed it through, shouldn't he, Harper? Just deck him. Shut up. Bang. Sometimes you need action, not inaction. You know what I'm saying? Vote Vinny for I don't know. One day I'll run for something. Got a swimming certificate once when I was about 12. So pretty qualified. When we come back, we talk about the World Cup. Yes, 2018, the World Cup's in Russia. 2022, the World Cup's in Qatar. Why? Because someone paid for it! There's mounting evidence to provide that have been provided now to various authorities to say that criminal activity has bought the Soccer World Cup in both 2018 in Russia and 2022 in Qatar. Let's find out what happened and what FIFA said when they launched a probe into looking into allegations against FIFA. FIFA looking into FIFA. Well, I'm sure it was perfectly reasonable and fair. All that coming up on News Talk 1010.
You're tuned in to The Vinnie White Show on In-Depth Radio, News Talk 1010.
I should do the promo stuff, as I classily call it, promo stuff. First of all, my name is Vinnie White. You can find me on Facebook, V-I-N-N-E-Y, White, mildly dyslexic. You can also go to the website to download the podcast, vinniewhite.co.uk. Or you can just Google me if you want. That's what I do every night, just stay in and googly-poos. That should be a commandment. Thou shalt not Google thyself. Because I tell you what, if you do, I did it a couple of years ago, you don't want to know what people think. You really don't. Most of it was from my mother. So that's that. What else have you got? You can text the show on 71010. Not many texts coming in tonight. Send me something nice. And you can phone the show if we get time, 416-872-1010. That's all that business taken care of. And before I bore you, I would like to say this. Do you need a Christmas present for the holidays? I messed it up already, didn't I? Should have said holiday present. Do you need a present for the holidays? Then why not go to MrPhotoCanvas.com? We can blow up your photograph on canvas at absolutely any size. And there's a 50% discount if you pick it up downtown Toronto. Yes, MrPhotoCanvas.com. I'm thinking about doing it without the stupid cheesy voice. I always sound sarcastic when I say anything other than in that voice. Let's see if it sounds sarcastic. Do you need a gift for Christmas? Then, like, you can go to MrPhotoCanvas.com if you want. It's all right. It's my company. I make canvas prints. Yeah, it wasn't bad. It's more sincere. World Cup news now here on News Talk 1010. What's the World Cup? It's soccer. What's that? It's football. What's that? It's all a bit dodgy because it's been paid off. Oi! Yes, 2018, the World Cup for soccer is in Russia. And in 2022, it's in Qatar. Qatar, by the way, is hotter than the sun. So it could be a little bit dodgy getting a load of fellas running about on a pitch. That's what we call it now. Trying to play football or soccer. Now, FIFA's soccer governing body, right? It's the governing body. And like many criminals, it's based in Switzerland. Criminals, cheese, and knives. And Nazi gold. FIFA has been the subject of multiple investigations, particularly recently, after authorities in multiple countries called into question how Qatar and Russia won their respective World Cup bids. Now, if you don't know how this works, it goes something like this. Here's a large bag of money. I'm going to run away. What had just happened? Absolutely nothing. Are you sure? I just saw you with a big bag of money. No. No, that was my lunch. It did look like a bag of money. No. Okay. All right, see you later. It's sort of like that, really. The millions of documents uncovered by a British newspaper, The Sunday Times, in June, which alleged that the Qatari football official Mohammed bin Hammam, now banned for life from the game by FIFA, had paid out about $5 million to football officials around the world, have not been taken into consideration by the American lawyer Michael Garcia leading the investigation. So that's like, if we go back to that analogy I just used, like you see a really dodgy deal where someone walks off with a brown paper bag of money and then you say, well, that looks a bit weird. Can we look at that? And then there's a big court, well, there isn't a court case, but there's a big sort of hoo-ha that looks like an official investigation. And then someone says, actually, you know that bit about the brown paper bag? We're actually not even going to look into that bit. But that's the whole point. Yeah, we're not going to. So it's just totally warped. Previously published reports suggested that the head of Qatar's bidding team bribed at least one FIFA official with $1 million payment to his son. So what did FIFA do? Well, as thorough as can be, FIFA hired its own investigators to look into the matter. And they found, guess what? Nothing wrong. According to a 40-page statement posted online on Thursday by the organisation, everything's all right. It would be like Gian Gimeshi conducting an investigation into his behaviour and finding out there was no wrongdoing. FIFA concluded in its report on FIFA that FIFA can and must improve the bidding process. So the conclusion was that the bidding process needs improvement, but it doesn't mention the fact that there was bribery, weirdly. It also doesn't actually put any details in offered by FIFA as how it intends to improve the bidding process. So FIFA looked into FIFA, found out there was nothing wrong, but FIFA needs to do a few things better, but we're not sure what. What? Now, despite the fact I'm British, I'm not that into football, but I am into justice. It's just wrong. I've got a good way of improving it. Like, I don't know, Margot the janitor pick the country that hosts the World Cup. That'll do it. And what happens if the World Cup is in Qatar in 2022? Is it supposed to be? It's probably all right, is it? Yeah. Oh, it's a rich country. So, you know, it'll be fine, right? Apart from the fact that it's so hot you'll, like, melt on arrival and it's dodging a pickpocket crossed with a sex pest. I'm sure it'll be fine. Fine. But the problem is it won't be fine because Qatar, despite being rich, doesn't, ironically, play ball.
The International Trade Union Confederation estimated at least 4,000 Nepalese and Indian migrant workers will die on construction projects for the 2022 World Cup by the time the tournament rolls around. That's been chalked up to dangerous work environments and squalid living conditions. But some workers have also accused their employers of confiscating their passports and visas, and the Qatari government of complacency. Because Thursday's report was specifically about the bidding process, it did not address those criticisms. Although FIFA has said in the past, it will closely monitor working conditions in Qatar. Unsurprisingly, the report drew skepticism.
I mean, it is very limited and very flawed. And what angers me, and I think should anger football fans all around the world, is this is being presented as by FIFA as a thorough investigation which has proved there was no wrongdoing, and the report simply does not substantiate that.
That's Member of Parliament Damian Collins, who is among a group of critics who have called for investigations into the bidding process from government agencies like the FBI, which has more power to subpoena suspected wrongdoing, something FIFA's investigation lacked.
Which is good news for us and anyone that seeks justice, because it's not going to end here. Apparently you can't just say, well, I looked into what I did and it was fine and nothing happened. Now, this could actually get bigger and bigger, and maybe there will be prosecutions after it all. But can we have it in Canada? Is it wrong? Let's bring it here. Let's do it here. We could do it on the island. Fly into Billy Bishop and just have a few games of football. It'd be better than Qatar. You're getting into it. You've got Toronto FC. They're pretty good. We can get them playing. Have a bit of a kickabout. It's a good way in. Soccer. Coming home to Canada. And not an oven. That'd be a good slogan. Seth Blatter, by the way, if you haven't seen him, the guy that runs FIFA, is every Bond criminal ever, minus the cat. I think he lives in a mountain somewhere and strokes a cat. The only pussy he's getting. Funny because of the fact he's ugly. Anyway, good luck. To justice on that. When we come back, we talk about America. Is it okay? Not really. There's a brewing company that may have got something wrong. Is it wrong? Yeah. They've decided that a Bavarian black lager, which is called a Bavarian black lager, has a good slogan. What is it? Slave to the flavour. Is it racist? Yeah, I think it is. We'll come back and discuss that on News Talk 1010.
This is the Vinnie White Show on In Depth Radio, News Talk 1010.
Bum, 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 ba-dum. Got some really nice texts. Thanks for texting in on 71010. Some people are already wishing me a Merry Christmas. Not even December. And someone said Merry Black Friday. It's a bit late, but I admire the sentiment. I haven't seen any videos this year of Black Friday idiocy. I'm sure there are some if I were to Google it. Have you seen any? You work in news. Are you going to listen to this show or what? You can't just wander in and not listen. What are you doing? Talk.
Hello, my mic wasn't on.
Well, come on,
mate. I'm here.
This is a professional broadcast. Amanda's here. You join us in news. I wanted to ask you, since you're floating around and you, if anyone knows.
Yes, I like to float.
Was there any riots of not related to the latest ongoings, but related instead to general consumerism and materialism? Did people hit each other in Walmart again, as they do every year?
There's always stories. I mean, in Canada, there wasn't anything really huge. I know in the U.S., there was some. The big story that I saw was that a man locked up his two kids and to go shopping. And one of them was disabled, and they were trying to get out, and they couldn't, and there was complications.
He locked them up so he could go shopping,
mm-hmm.
so he couldn't miss out on the deals.
Exactly.
How old were they?
I don't have the facts in front of me.
Clearly not 18.
Because you're throwing this at me, but no, they were not 18. They were young. They were young kids.
Yeah.
Brother and sister.
Bad, but not quite as... I find something spirit-crushing about watching people scramble for televisions. Particularly now, like when it started, Black Friday, it was all, you know, there's always televisions and usual electronics that people beat each up over. But now, just go online and buy a TV. They're like giving them away.
So that's the whole thing with Cyber Monday tomorrow.
Yeah.
You get to take advantage of all the deals without the pushing and the shoving
exactly.
and the parking craziness. Yeah.
So just do that.
People are even saying that the deals are going to be better. They're better tomorrow than they are on Black Friday.
Exactly.
Well, and unlimited supply.
Yes, and they don't have the overheads, and you haven't got to leave the house.
Perks all over the place.
You haven't got to listen to annoying people next to you, barging past you. Not that would happen in Canada. I always think of Black Friday in Canada as just a battle of apologies. Oh, well, I'm terribly sorry.
Have we become desensitized to these injury stories and they don't make the news anymore? Maybe that's the thing. That's
maybe,
why we're not hearing
yeah,
about it.
Which is almost sadder. Oh, God.
Maybe.
It's incredibly bleak. Let's cheer ourselves up with okay. more news from America. Yes, a brewing company admits that it wasn't prepared for the backlash regarding the slogan for its Bavarian Black Lager. As a brew called Bavarian Black Lager, it's probably quite nice. The slogan is, slave to the flavour. Is it wrong?
Yeah. I took a beat, I thought about it. Yeah.
Yeah, I think at a time when race relations are at the heart of a national and international discourse, Heartland Brewery, the brewery behind this, deciding to evoke the pain and trauma of the nation's most shameful and hateful legacy and use it as a cheap marketing ploy might be a bit wrong. Yeah, they've said, we weren't prepared for people to be upset with our slogan, slave to the flavour, referring to the Bavarian Black Lager.
Part of me, you know, maybe this is me just wishing for the best of people, but maybe they didn't mean to. Like, maybe this just went through a couple people, no one really thought about it.
No.
And it just was a big accident. Maybe it was just a big accident.
No, that's not true.
Maybe. I wish.
They even have the word slave in capital letters.
Oh, no.
Just to make it even worse. Yeah, they've said they're going to pull it now.
Oh, good. Good decision.
Yeah, just a bit. Meanwhile, in the United States of America, other things are going on. Do you ever think we should break away and sort of get that border and just fill it up with water? There was an amazing story about a passenger on a jet, and that guy decided to do some slightly naughty business. We've got some audio. Would you like to hear it?
Yes, I would, please.
Did you hear about this already?
No.
Oh, yeah. What do you do when you're on a jet and you feel a bit horny, Amanda?
Oh, man. I want to know what this guy did first, and then I'll answer the question.
Okay, he did this.
It's an odd story mid-flight. A Virgin America jet made an unexpected landing because of a Bay Area passenger. The flight was going from Boston to Los Angeles, but the pilot landed the plane in Omaha, Nebraska instead. In this video, shot by another passenger, you can see emergency responders escorting Doug Adams off of the plane in handcuffs. Omaha police say Adams lives on the peninsula in Woodside. He was arrested after what's being described as a psychiatric episode. Adams reportedly touched himself inappropriately, became unruly, and at one point tried to open the emergency exit.
See, until he said the emergency exit bit, I was thinking, well, that's a bit wrong, because it would appear he was masturbating. The emergency exit takes it to a slightly different level.
That's a safety hazard now.
That's one thing, having a little fondle. It's not nice if you're sitting next to him.
Wait. It's one thing to do a little fondle. Have you fondled yourself on a plane?
I think my silence speaks volumes.
Oh, my goodness.
No, I have not. And if I did, I would have done it in the toilet.
Oh, my goodness. You've even had, you have the plan. You already know what you would do.
My friend says he gets what's known as, and I hope this isn't too crass. Please forgive me if this is marginally offensive, but it is funny. He says he gets convoy cock, which is the prospect of every time that he's in transit anywhere, whether he's on the back of a truck or whether he's in a plane, he gets turned on.
Mm.
And I think a lot of chaps, not me, not old reliable McGee, get quite turned on when they're a few thousand miles up, a few thousand feet up, because of the sort of jittering movement.
Wow, I learn something new every day about men. You know, it never ceases to amaze
me. Let's check with our listeners. Text in now on 71010 if you get horny when you get on a vehicle. But what I really
can't
like
wait
about,
to hear what people have to say.
Yeah, so give me a, first one in. Yes, straight away. Attaboy, whoever you are. this one, what I really liked about this story is this is the true headline from that story is masturbating passenger causes premature landing for Virgin flight.
Wow,
it's got all the components.
Good one, classic.
Have you ever felt yourself a little bit?
On a plane? No.
No?
No.
Have you ever done it on a plane?
No.
Mm.
But I kind of think that would be fun.
Oh, of course. I would imagine. Which
Joining the Mile High Club.
Yeah, I genuinely haven't. But I did do it. Is it wrong to say this? I think at this time it's all right. I had, let's not say I did it, but I did some business on, which is what I call it, on a train once.
Okay.
Yeah, is that wrong?
I just feel like that's not as epic of a story as
no,
if you had done it on a plane.
It's incredibly dull, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it is.
I'm really
I'm
quite
not
disappointed
impressed.
In myself.
Yeah, I'm disappointed in you too.
There's listeners tuning out thinking, I thought he was at least a little bit rock and roll. text in if you find travel a turn on. This one, I only get a, I can't say that word, I don't think, but we all know what he means, when I'm on a bumpy road. In South America particularly, where the roads are normally dirt, I find it difficult, says this text. So it's not just...
It's not, you're not alone.
It's not just this guy. Hey, just, I didn't say it was me.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did.
I did not.
We all read right through that.
Meanwhile, guess what else happened in the States? Yes, it's been a weird week in the States, other than the enormous controversy that we all know about. There was also a weird scene in Pittsburgh. A man decided to leave his house, shoot power transformers, and then cover his entire house in kerosene. And it sounds a little bit like this.
This has been a very bizarre night. Police say a man shot up two transformers outside his house, and when they went inside, they found an even more dangerous situation.
For hours, this quiet West Mifflin neighborhood was on edge. Fire trucks and even the bomb squad in their street. But it all began when Jill Kravanek saw her 63-year-old neighbor on Nordine Street walk outside in camouflage with a rifle.
He just came out, sat down calmly for about a minute on the wall, and then got up, aimed the gun, and started shooting.
The man allegedly fired several shots down the street and at these transformers, which started gushing fluid onto the road. Kravanek rushed her kids to the back of the house.
They were terrified. They were crying and screaming. They didn't know what was happening. They just knew that I was terrified.
West Mifflin police found the 63-year-old man still holding the gun outside. Officials say he seemed suicidal, and when officers went into his home, they feared they were walking into a trap.
There was kerosene spread throughout the house that you could smell, and there were some doors with ropes on them, and we didn't know if they were traps.
The county's bomb squad made sure the house was safe, but until then, people living nearby had to evacuate. The suspect was taken to a hospital and is expected to face charges. Neighbors tell us he's well known for strange behavior.
He normally only comes out periodically, and he doesn't usually come out fully clothed. He's usually in like slippers and shorts.
Even so, they never believed he'd turn violent.
Not knowing somebody could snap like that, it's terrifying.
The suspect in this case is being taken for mental evaluations. No one was hurt during this incident. Reporting in West Mifflin, Bob Hayes in Pittsburgh's Action News 4.
Yeah, Pittsburgh, man, shooting up power transformers outside his house, covering house in kerosene. Well, I've said this before and I'll say it again. It's always the same. The neighbours always say, yeah, it was a bit weird, but I didn't think he'd do this. I just long for the day when someone goes, John, he did what? He shot transformers and then put kerosene all over his house. I knew it. He's mental.
I think I'm the opposite. I think everyone is bound to do something crazy. I'm prepared. I'm prepared for every single person I know, including you,
yeah,
to just fly off the handle tomorrow.
I'm pretty on the edge, is it, guys?
Yeah. I think so, yes.
I used to live in Parkdale, and I wouldn't be in the least bit surprised if they filled up the house full of kerosene, marshmallows, or ox blood. I'd have gone, yeah, they're all nutters. I was in the southern part of Parkdale, which is not full of hipsters. There's two parts of Parkdale here in Toronto. There's the northern part, which is full of hipsters and people with beards, even outside November.
So it's like Northern Ireland.
Is it?
I don't know. You're describing it like it's another country.
Oh, I see. Yeah, yeah. And then the southern part where all the lunatics are. No, I don't think we can apply that to Northern and Southern Ireland. During the beginning of the show, I did an email from a woman who said, thanks so much for getting me internet dating. I had an internet date this week and it didn't go very well. And kind of blamed me for it, which is not my fault. I wasn't dating her. But I've been getting a lot of input from other people throughout the show. I haven't had time to read it all out, saying that they've started internet dating and it's a great laugh. So I'm really pleased that apparently all this talk of internet dating and the interviews that we've been doing recently with dating experts are going the right way for some people. Amanda.
Yes.
You work in the News Talk 1010 newsroom.
I do.
You're a fine-looking young filly.
Oh, thanks.
Tell me about yours.
Well, I was just going to say, if you're looking for a great laugh, that's what internet dating and Tinder's all about. And
yes.
I actually have an exchange that I would like to share with you. And if you'll humor me, I think you should play the man that I'm speaking to and I will play myself in
this text
exchange.
Would you like me to do it in my voice or a North American attempt at North American accent?
Maybe a North American, because I feel like this Dave fellow is a North American.
Awesome.
So this is over Tinder, the app that is the new internet dating, the next level internet dating. So I ask him, hey, like any epic weekend stories so far? He says.
Yeah, totally. Because he's from Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. Yeah, totally. A guy was being a douche at the bar last night, so I put my in his drink. And the word I deleted there was appendage.
So then I say back.
What did he expect?
This is
that?
The opening. This is the opening to the convo. I say, good move. I do that all the time.
Oh, good reply. Well
right?
done, Amanda.
Right? Because it's a joke.
Yeah. We should sext. I've got to see that appendage, said the man. My God, what's wrong with this guy?
This is a real convo. I go, that's what she said.
Ha ha, he said. I'm leaving your town in an hour. We got to make it happen right now.
So this is classic. I go, oh, man, I'm at work next time.
Sounds thrilling. Want to meet in your job's bathroom? Oh, my God.
And I said, yes, such a genius and original idea.
I knew you would dig, Amanda. So, where at?
I
wouldn't talk to him just for saying where at.
I really like that accent. Say it again.
Where at?
I say I'm at your mom's.
He says, grab a cupcake. They're delicious. I'm on my way.
And I said, are you calling me fat? And that's the end of that. This is Tinder for you, folks.
That's about 18 messages too far. Well done for humouring him. Been a pleasure. Always a pleasure. Never a chore. Amanda, thank you for joining me.
Thanks for having me, Vinny.
And I'll see you guys next week at 9 through to 10 on what some people, not many, describe the best radio show in the world. This is The Vinny White Show on News Talk 1010. Ta-da!